I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
My name is Madison.
Oh, whoa. Who is this?
Who is that?
Get out of here.
A wild Madison appeared.
Hello.
We have a very special guest this evening. Madison is joining us for the Black Widow review. You may have noticed that Andy is not here. He had a personal upheaval earlier today, and he's gone off to deal with that. And our thoughts are with him, and he will be rejoining us soon. Also, you may notice that the general timbre is different. Is that the right term, Steve?
Sure.
I think it's timbre. So because of Andy's upheaval, we are, you know, we typically record in his house and wish him all the love and support for dealing with what he's dealing with. So we just moved locations to Steve's office where he edits video footage of various things, including Mr. Clean, apparently.
There is a Mr. Clean right behind
me. I'm looking at a signed photo of Mr. Clean.
Of course.
Jesus. It's real. It's real. He's a real man.
That's one of the most prized possessions in this office, I would imagine.
It really is.
There's also a skeleton with an Olympic medal, beer opener, and a wig.
That's Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones.
Okay. Yeah. We're just taking it all in. But anyway, we're right on a busy thoroughfare in a downtownish area. So you might notice some car noise in the background or the room tone's different. Just want to throw that out there. Kind of an elephant in the room scenario. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. That way they can't feel weird about it because I already called it out.
I know some of you, like, you already have your hand on the phone. You're about to tweet us angry tweets. Like, I can hear all the sounds. And it's like, you know, I get it. I'm here too. I hear it as well.
Mm-hmm. I can tell it's echoing off Mr. Bones.
It is, yeah.
And I don't like it.
Echo. Right.
I can hear a Mr. Clean signed photograph in the background.
You can hear it from that distinctive sheen.
The show I signed up for. We get it. So tonight's episode, we all went last night to see the premiere, which I always say like that because of the film Inglourious Bastards.
Is that your origin story?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of origin
story.
This
is your solo moment.
Did you see that tweet I tweeted earlier about me locking myself out of my house?
Yes.
So I have my own upheaval, nowhere near as big as Andy's, but this morning, so I took a large portion of pre-workout powder. I was pretty excited, motivated to go to the gym. I told you last week I quit my job, so I'm going to start blogging and doing all this stuff. And I'm getting geared up and I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym first. So I take a large portion of pre-workout powder. I say goodbye to my dogs. I always lock my front door from inside while I'm still in it and then slam it. I don't know why. It's just what I do. And I go to my car and it unlocks itself when you grab the handle. And it's not unlocking.
Fancy.
It's not unlocking though. And I'm like, what's wrong with the car? Because that still hasn't occurred to me what's really going on. So I locked my keys in the house. So now I've taken a large portion of pre-workout powder. I'm locked outside of my house. It's 10 in the morning. My wife's at work.
Your dogs are looking at you from the window.
Yeah, what Jack's are you just looking out the window like, hey, come back in, Dad. That is the good move. And I'm just like, oh, no. So there's this weird moment where I'm like waiting for it to kick in. And the stress is like kicking it in faster. And I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind. Is this my villain origin story? Like, I'm just going to start barreling through the city. Like Mr. Kool-Aiding through people's homes.
There's a man attacking people with protein powder. He's just throwing it in their eyes.
It's all I had was a water bottle and a cell phone. But luckily I text Andy and I didn't want to pressure him. I said, hey, would you like to go to the gym? And he was like, kinda. So then I went in and I was like, full disclosure, I'm locked outside of my house on a large amount of pre-workout powder and I need you to say yes. And he was like, I'm on my way. Because he's a good guy. He's a solid man. Anyway, that's what happened to me. But tonight, we're reviewing Black Widow. We're going to do our usual what we've been streaming, the Crossing Stream segment, as well as Check the Gate. We'll start with overall thoughts on Black Widow. So you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, you don't have to be freaked out. We're not going to spoil anything. And then we'll do an in-depth review right after that.
And next week, there are always time codes in the show notes if you want to skip to a certain segment.
Yeah, that's weird. That's not something a fan per se would do, is skip around my voice. But if you want to, right, Steve, you could. Yeah,
I mean... skip all the bullshit. You know, yeah,
right. Speaking of bullshit, you can email streamingthingspod@gmail.com at any time.
Excellent segue.
We will. You can also call us and leave a voicemail with a voice, which is why they call it a voicemail, right, Steve?
That would be the thought. Yes.
Yeah, the etymology of that term. Sure.
Yeah.
And how do they call? What number do they call?
Oh, well, they can call 859-757-4051.
Oh, that's a good number.
Yeah, that's 859-757-4051.
And you will hear a completely appropriate voicemail greeting, and then you can leave your message for us, and we might play it on the show. But at the very least, we'll be very happy. We'll listen to it. We'll be like, hey, that's so-and-so's voice.
Yeah.
Because you'll leave your name and what city you're calling from as well.
Because I often sit at home and think, what do my listeners sound like?
Mm-hmm. They get to hear what we sound like.
They listen to us.
We showed you ours.
I want to listen to you.
Exactly. Also, what else was I going to say? Oh, next week's episode. Are we doing Space Jam?
I one would assume.
I think that's coming out next week. So we're probably going to be reviewing a Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Is there another? There's more to that title? I don't even know. I haven't done the research yet because we didn't
probably
know.
Probably two.
You think? I don't know.
Space Jam 2?
Jammier. Space Jammer. This one with LeBron instead of Michael Jordan should be a hoot. And I think Alex wants to come back and guest on that. So that's what's in store for next week. But let's move right on into our Crossing Streams segment.
Actually, Chris, before we do that, I do want to kind of throw things to Madison and ask Madison, who are you? Why are you here?
Who am I?
Like the listener, you're listening in, you hear this woman voice on the show. It's only happened once before.
I saw you scrambling for adjectives.
Yeah. But what's your story, Madison? What brings you here?
Oh, man. So Steve and I used to work together. I used to intern at the place that he is currently working. And we've just remained in touch. And as an avid fan of the show, I was, you know, listening in. And Steve reached out to me and asked if I wanted to come on and talk about what you guys talk about, which is movies. And I love talking about movies. And Steve and I would always chat at work, even though when we're supposed to be working, we would just always talk about other things.
Bosses, if you're listening, we were working, not talking.
We were working.
Yep. They don't listen. Am I kidding?
But yeah, and so that's just why I'm here.
You wanted to talk about Black Widow specifically, though, right? I mean, this was months ago.
I did, because I remember you guys, at least Steve, you asked me if I was available for Godzilla versus Kong, and I wasn't available, but
you dodged a bullet on that one.
I did end up watching that movie, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. But I knew Black Widow was coming up, and I'm such a huge fan of Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson, and I was like, you know what, I think this would be a really good one for me to hop on and kind of dive into it with you guys. So yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, we would often, I really look back on our time working together and just hanging out talking about Star Wars shit, and there's some fun conversations.
Have you been watching The Bad Batch?
I have not.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I
watched the first episode, and I'm not one to watch animation like cartoons. It's really difficult for me to watch. I don't know why, it just is. But I'm a huge fan of The Mandalorian. Love Mandalorian. I love where Star Wars is going in that direction in terms of series. I'm really excited for Kenobi.
Yeah.
And any other additional Star Wars stories that are coming out, I think that's going to be really cool. But yeah, I've not watched The Bad Batch in its entirety.
I don't think you're missing anything. Yeah, I watched the first episode as well and was like, it was okay, but I don't think I'm sold. And I was informed that was the best of the bunch. And so if that didn't sell me, do not continue. And I took their word for it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited to have this conversation because I enjoyed the movie that we're talking about tonight rather a lot because, you know, it gets old. We don't like hating on shit. We don't you know, it gets hard to create things. I create things.
Yeah.
And I don't like when people shit on them. And so I don't like doing that. But sometimes I got to keep it real. You know?
Oh, yeah.
As they say. Do they say that still?
I don't know. Madison, you're younger than us. What are the kids on the street saying?
Put me on the spot.
What's the lingo? What's the
street's literally right there. I'll go ask them.
What's the haps, my man?
I think get real is still solid.
Okay, good.
It's a good one.
Because I don't want to be keeping it wrong, but keeping it real.
Is it lit?
It is, fam.
It is lit.
It is.
So it is lit.
This please, cowabunga.
All the dad listeners Steve. Are very pleased right now.
No, Steve.
Their New Balance shoes are fluttering. So, Madison, what have you been streaming this past week or ever, really, I guess? Yours is wide open since it's your first appearance.
The world is your oyster.
Well, I was thinking about it on the way here. Probably the most recent thing I've streamed in terms of shows was actually Shadow and Bone.
Okay.
Which is a little outside of my... because I like fantasy, like I like Harry Potter and I like Lord of the Rings, but it takes a lot for me to watch something that's a little not like in that guideline, I guess. Mm-hmm. So my friend recommended it to me and I watched it and it was actually really good. And I wasn't expecting it to be good because it looked like it was kind of geared towards a younger audience. But I really enjoyed that and that's on Netflix.
Yeah, I never quite caught that, but it was like trending a lot on Netflix. And I was like, I'm a huge fantasy fan, so I should have checked it out, but just didn't catch up with it.
It's based off of a book series. The friend that recommended it to me read the books prior to watching the TV show. And she was like, it was amazing, like transition from the books to making it a TV series. And I thought that was pretty impressive for her to say at least. So
yeah, the adaptation of those kind of properties are always are often really rough. So I'll probably check it out. I've got a lot of extra time now. Anything else you've been streaming?
So I know you guys talked about streaming movies, like older movies and stuff, but I recently
Chris just did Sneakers last week.
A movie that I just recently watched was Pleasantville with Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon. And I know the movie itself is so unique in terms of like its story and like where it's like and the style. And so I watched it just because I don't know. I think I'd only seen it one other time before. And I was like, wow, this is such a good, solid movie. It was just, I don't know, a good little fresh air of a movie to watch.
Yeah, so. I haven't seen that since it came out. But I love when that happens when you revisit films from especially like adolescence or something where you didn't even get a lot of the references or themes. Mm-hmm. And you just remember thinking, adults said that was a good movie. And I agreed, you know, like so many on my shelf are just for that reason. And then you go back and watch them and you're like, hey, it's always good when they hold up. And
those adults were right.
Sometimes you have the opposite experience. And you're like, damn, adults.
Sometimes parents do understand.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, I like going back and watching movies in the peak of actors' careers. And I feel like that movie for Tobey Maguire and transitioning from that movie into his Spider-Man career. Mm-hmm. I like going back and watching those, seeing them in their peak time.
And where is Tobey Maguire?
Who knows?
Probably getting beat up.
Oh, Toby.
One of my favorite things about Tobey Maguire is just within the past couple years, because I wasn't super, you know, I like Tobey Maguire as an actor, but I wasn't super on top of the Hollywood goss. So it's only within the last couple of years that I've realized that apparently Tobey Maguire has the reputation of being a little bit of a bastard.
Really?
Oh. And so much so that on
not very pleasant of him.
No, not very pleasant.
Like in a self-righteous kind of way or like in in an artistic way. Like
I think it's
like Edward Norton's kind of just like,
I think I get the idea that he wants to be an asshole like the way Edward Norton is, but he just comes off more as like a sniveling little weasel. Uh-huh. Mm. To the point where there's a famous story that I just stumbled upon within the last year that I thought was really funny on the set of the first Spider-Man movie. Did you know Joe Manganiello's in that movie?
Yes.
So apparently
he's the bully that beats. Yeah.
So apparently there's that fight scene that they have where, you know, he's just unlocked his spider powers and he's like evading all of Flash Thompson's, you know, I think that's the bully's name.
Yeah.
All of his swings. And the crew was literally like offering Joe money to accidentally, air quotes, make contact and hit
him.
Fortunately, Joe is like, I can't hit the star. That's going to ruin my career. And it could also shut down production. That's not a smart move.
Yeah.
But he's like talked about it in interviews. Like, yes, like, everyone hated that guy.
Now that I have an established career, everybody wanted me to punch him. Wow.
But yeah, wow. Supposedly, I mean, again, this is all hearsay. It's all third party source. I don't know him myself. He could just very well just show up in the door behind me. Like, what'd you say, motherfucker?
That's where he's been the whole time.
That's right. He's actually
Mr. Bones.
He's Mr. Bones. Oh my God.
Toby.
Yeah.
Finest weed in the South Farthing. That's what I think every time he says his name is Lord of the Rings when Gandalf's like, oh,
finest
Toby.
Finest weed in the South Farthing.
Steve, what have you been streaming?
Well, let me be really lame. So this week has been another hellish week for me in terms of work. I haven't had the opportunity to stream much of anything other than stuff that we either aren't talking about this episode or we're talking about later in the episode. However, there is one thing I've been meaning to like say over the last couple weeks, but I either forget to mention it during crossing streams or I'm like, this is lame. I'm not going to do it. But today's the day, listener.
We're as bare as Mr. Bones here.
Today's the day. I'm going to ask you a question, both Chris and Madison.
All right.
What do I and President of the United States Joe Biden have in common with each other? We are both security risks.
A sharp sense of style.
A Peloton.
Okay, there we go.
So I have a Peloton bike. I stream exercises on it. And so for the last couple weeks, I've been wanting to talk to you, the listener, and ask, does anyone else have a Peloton? Will you be my friend on Peloton so we can ride bikes together and compete? Because that would be really fun.
Is that a thing?
Me. Yeah, you can have like little friends and you can.
Is that friendly though, or you're challenging them to a race?
I mean, not necessarily.
This is Fast and Furious 10 Peloton.
I mean,
Fast and Furious Peloton.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God!
I actually tried to watch. Which one was it? I think it was. I think it was Too Fast, Too Furious. I tried to watch that when we were doing
on the Peloton.
On the Peloton, where I would just,
I think, you know, it's Peloton if you're in the crew. Oh,
I didn't know.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'll be, you know, rolling on my Peloton.
Yeah, there you go.
At a nice even pace, but when they were racing, I was going real fast.
Oh, you made it like an exercise game.
Yeah, I was like, I need to work out. I'm getting a little puffy, and I didn't make it through half the movie. Because like I was so transfixed on the movie because it's Too Fast, Too Furious, and there's a lot going on that screen.
Yeah.
And every time Paul Walker said "Kuh," I would start laughing. So it didn't last long, but I made an attempt to merge my healthy exercising with my streaming and it failed. However, that's why I'm asking you listeners, if you guys are on Peloton and you are interested, let me know.
Yeah, you can hit up Steve May 13 on Twitter.
It's
do you have a Peloton name?
I do have a Peloton name. It's Steve Tempest.
Okay.
So.
Is that a reference to your favorite Shakespeare play?
No. So actually, Steve Tempest is the evolution of my PlayStation account, which is Jimmy Tempest. Jimmy Tempest is the name of a character I was supposed to play in a film I was supposed to make in 2007.
And you were just really wrapped up in that project when you got your PlayStation.
I was writing it. So
this is fascinating.
I love this.
My crossing stream is just devolving into my history and filmmaking. But when I was in high school, the big project that turned my life around into getting into film was my friends and I filmed a Spider-Man 2 parody called Spider Mike. And it's a, dare I say, nearly feature length film. It's 55 minutes long. It has story beats. I'm pretty proud of it. It looks like shit because it was filmed on like a camcorder from like 1999. But it was funny. It had a good time. And that's what kind of set me on the path to making movies. Our follow up to that a couple years later was supposed to be a parody of the Fantastic Four movie called The Familiar Four. And my character that I was going to play was the Johnny Storm knockoff, Jimmy Tempest.
Ah.
And instead of fire powers, I would have water powers.
Because Tempest is a synonym of storm. And Jimmy starts with a J, just like Johnny.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep.
I love it.
I got to be honest with you. One day I do kind of want to revisit that script for Familiar Four because there was a lot going on in it. And I'm kind of proud of it. There was like a whole... The whole thing of it was the four characters, the Familiar Four, are nobodies who just stumble into having powers. There's an actual Justice League type group that actually saves people, but the bad guys take over the news organization and start feeding propaganda to people. And so the big thing is they have to take down this propaganda network because it's taken over the heroes as well. And I'm like, wow, that's apt for today's time. So
are you pitching Madison and me right now?
I know. Yeah.
There was great. There was a.
We have no money.
I'm available for a job. Hire me.
Dude, we had so many ideas because we were trying to figure out, okay, we don't have a budget. How are we going to get these special effects? Because like all the people's powers are similar to the Fantastic Four. I mean, Johnny Storm just threw water because it's easier to make water effects. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do a lot of like force perspective to like get the stretching character, the Reed Richards, I forget what we called him in the movie, but the Reed Richards analog. We were doing like four spec perspectives where it looks like he's reaching his arm, but really it's like four people's arms in different sections of the screen. And like we had this shit written down. There was a character, one of the bad guys, there was like four bad guys, and one of the bad guys' names was Clockwise. And it was this dude, I drew him out. He wore a white trench coat with a white fedora. The trench coat sleeves were rolled up to his elbows on both arms. And he had stopwatches like all down his arms. And he controlled time. So like he had this fight scene where he's like zipping around, like punching people and stuff. Oh, man. I kind of wish we can go back and revisit it now that I'm talking about it.
Do you have all that information? Or...
What do you mean?
Like you have the script and all that stuff?
I do somewhere. Yeah. I still have all that stuff because I saved it because we were going to make it. We bought costumes. There's actually a photo of me in the Familiar Four costume somewhere. And it's literally, it's a skin tight blue suit with like dark navy underpants. So like with like a superhero belt. And then I was wearing like Matrix Neo sunglasses. It was really terrible looking. And when we bought those at the Target and we were checking out, you know, it's like blue spandex and then like darker blue underwear spandex. Hmm. And I was purchasing it with friend of the show, Phil, because he was part of it. And for whatever reason, when we're buying the outfits together at Target, the cashier is this dude. And he just kind of like side eyes us. And for whatever reason, Phil thought it would be a great idea to go, "We're making a movie." And then he's like realizes in real time that doesn't make it better and goes, "No. A superhero movie." And the guy's like, "I don't care what you do in your spare time."
I'm Jimmy Tempest.
That poor man at Target.
Yeah, that guy was not having a good day. But you
do
know,
you want the rewards card or not,
listener? If you want to bankroll this
or
parody of Fantastic
Four,
race
Steve on his piton,
or race me on my piton. Do it.
Hit him up either way.
Please
right?
do.
That's
please
do. Steve Tempest on the Peloton Network. Yep. I don't know how that works. If you there's like a search bar.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
You're putting it out there. I bet you're gonna have tons of. Fun friends to race.
I'm gonna get soon. All of one of you, maybe. Chris, what have you been streaming?
I have streamed a few things. There, we talked about it last week a little bit, or at least I said that I was excited about it. The Fear Street trilogy on Netflix. Madison, have you heard about this?
I have heard that.
So I watched, saw the trailer for that the other day.
So I think I watched Fear Street 1994. I believe Fear Street 1978, the second one in the trilogy, is debuting as we speak because today is July 9th. So you're not going to hear this listener until Monday. So it's already been out a couple of days. I'll probably have watched both by then. But I really like it. I think it's a wonderful homage, to like 90s slasher flicks and horror films like Scream and Halloween, the types of horror films that they don't typically make a whole lot of.
They look like the second one is very reminiscent of, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause it's at a camp. Mm-hmm. And that one's going to have, what is
it's
her
Sadie.
Name?
The actress from
Sadie. Yeah. Slade. Stranger Something Things. Slade, right? I'm so sorry. It's been so long since our Stranger Things coverage. And then the first one has Maya Hawke.
Can you forget
so
her name?
Gotcha.
I really enjoy the films. I'm going to not say a whole lot because I want to watch all three of them and see if it maybe is worth doing a larger segment here on the show. But I would recommend it if you're a horror fan or if you've been alive longer than 15 years or so. You'll probably get some good nostalgic fun out of it, if nothing else.
And those are on Netflix.
Netflix, yes. If nothing else, the shtick of it, you know, being a trilogy filmed all at once and then debuting in the same month is unique and worth talking about here on Streaming Things, I think.
I agree.
Right. I also watched a movie called The Tomorrow War. I don't
know
what brought me to that. Have either
you did of you, it.
It's the new Chris Pratt film.
Yeah.
Available on Amazon Prime Video.
What you rated this on the Pratt scale. What was the rating for how pratty this movie is?
Honestly, here's what's funny. This movie is a roller coaster, and I recommend it for that reason. So I read a bunch of reviews, not the entirety, but the headlines of them in advance. And it was saying things like either it seemed polarized, big, dumb, fun, and big, dumb turd. Whereas like the two sides, there was no spectrum. It was like, those are the two opinions.
Fun
and
I thought or turd.
As many films as I have in my blind spots, there's so many landmarks of cinema that I have never laid eyes upon. I feel like I should be spending my time doing that. So, I'm not going to do that. And then I thought, yeah, I am. I don't know why. I don't know where. My buddy called me and he said, dude, that is the worst, most illogical ending that I have seen in about a year. I mean, it's just the dumbest thing. I may God have mercy on their souls. And for, I don't know why that's not an endorsement, but I was like, I have to see this in a weird way. Some sick part of me. It was like craning my neck on the freeway when you see a car accident. Right.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I disagree. It is big and dumb. But there's a lot of heart to it. It's highly entertaining. You can't deny that it's entertaining. And yes, the ending is, but there's a lot of stupid screenwriting choices, but it's like, I don't feel like the writer was like, oh, this is fucking good. Like, this is a plot.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody call Shyamalan and show him what I just came up with.
Like, it's a war and it takes place tomorrow.
Nobody at any point thought like, oh, wow, this is going to wow people. It's just, it was big, dumb fun. Like, do you guys know the premise?
Yes.
Madison, do you? Not necessarily.
So, regardless.
I'm going to pitch it to you because the premise itself is going to lose you almost guaranteed. Okay. So there is, it's 2022. Chris Pratt is an ex military officer who's now a school teacher and he's trying to get into a military job again. He's got a young daughter and he's got a wife. And it's actually,
the actress from
Betty Gilpin.
Okay.
Betty Gilpin from Glow. So anyway, I'm like, oh, Betty Gilpin's in. I'm going to check it out.
I like Betty.
So what happens is, right in the middle of all this normal day-to-day Midwestern stuff, people come from the future and land in the middle of a football field at a high school game. And they say, in 30 years from now, we're in a gigantic war with an alien race and we're losing. And there's only like 400,000 human beings left on Earth from what, 8 billion? That's not good. Not good odds, not good numbers. So we need your help. We're going to start recruiting you, people from 2022, to come to the future with us and fight with us, or else the human race is doomed.
Wow.
That's the plot of the movie.
Huh.
Now, if you think about that for more than 3 seconds, it becomes immediately idiotic. Why would you do that? It's, you're just us in the future. We'll just wait here and prepare better. In fact, why don't you just bring us info?
Yeah. How about all of you come to us and we'll just, you can hang out here with us.
Like, we get that it sucks for you, but you're us. And so if we do things differently, that will never have happened to you, because this is how it's like. They never watched a time travel movie at all. Like, none of the rules from other time travel movies apply.
Some people never educated themselves on Back to the Future.
None of them have seen it. There's actually, there's some really funny stuff. The reason I tweeted that about the Chris Pratt scale is because it's not even peak Chris Pratt. Like, he's completely phoning it in.
He looked like it from the trailers.
There's like some charm to it, but it's definitely not Guardians Pratt. It's like Republican Twitter Pratt, like where morning after, and he's reading his own tweets when he sobers up, and then he got called in to shoot that day. It's that Pratt. But everyone else, like J.K. Simmons, is fucking 10 out of 10 J.K. Simmons. He's been pumping the iron. He's got a giant beard. He's got a 50 caliber sniper rifle.
Well, now I'm in. If you on the posters, like, here's J.K. Simmons with a 50 caliber sniper rifle, it's like, sign me up. I don't need to hear the plot.
Exactly.
What's it called? Tomorrow War? I don't give a shit. Let me show it. Let me
see these
it.
Aliens can withstand like hundreds of bullets being barraged at them. But there's a character who's cowardly throughout the film that has a turn and picks up a chainsaw. And that's where I looked at my friend who was watching it for the second time with me for fun. And I said, I actually love this movie. I gave it 1.5 stars in Letterboxd. And then when he picked up the chainsaw, I opened my phone again. Before it was over, I knew it was 1.5, right? But he picks up the chainsaw and I'm like, 2.5 for sure. That was awesome.
Merits at least another star.
I mean, it's free if, you know, everybody's got Amazon Prime. Bezos won the war. Yeah, so
he's going to space.
I would recommend if you're bored, check it out. Sam Richardson is the name of the character I was talking about that held the whole thing together.
Off air, I am going to ask you to spoil something for me in that movie.
I would be glad to. Like, I wanted to say more, but I don't.
I feel like there's a Tomorrow War in that movie, and I feel like I know what the twist is a mile away.
I would love it if you ask me that later. Just don't forget to remind me.
Okay, Siri, remind me in 2 hours to ask Chris about Tomorrow Wars.
That's all I've been watching. I don't have anything else that I want to talk about this week. So that brings us to Check the Gate. All right, there's two pieces of news. First off, for new listeners, Check the Gate is a segment where we here at Streaming Things bring you all the hottest, freshest, steamiest takes in film and TV news that you can get literally anywhere else.
You heard it here third.
That's what we do. We offer a service here at Streaming Things. But I've got two pieces of news that are very dear to my heart. First, Madison, are you a fan of the X-Men films?
Is it bad to say if I am?
No, I just wanted to know.
Okay, yeah,
I'm a huge fan. Right, so no. Like X2, when I was a kid, was one of the...
Oh, hello.
Hello.
That's sort of honked at us.
They love X-Men as well.
That's like, X2, baby, woo!
Yeah.
That's one of my, like, I don't know, most fond movie theater going experiences of my childhood was that opening sequence to X2 with like 13 of my high school friends. I love those films. And I specifically thought that Hugh Jackman's portrayal of Wolverine was spot on, pitch perfect, and a huge part of my life. I mean, he played that role for what, 15, 16 years? Also, Logan, James Mangold's film, recently saying goodbye to Patrick Stewart as Charles Xavier and Hugh Jackman as Logan, is one of my favorite movies of all time. Wonderfully done. So are you guys hip to Hugh Jackman's Twitter feed?
I don't follow him. No.
I do not follow him
either.
So
a few days ago, he tweeted paradoxically just a disembodied arm with Wolverine's claws.
Like a severed arm?
Nah, it was more like a graphic design.
Oh, okay.
Right. That would be worse, right? Like, I killed him. No. I said that wrong. Not dismembered, disembodied. Okay. It's floating.
All right.
Anyway, Wolverine's claws. He tweeted Wolverine's claws. And then a photo of him, like, arm over arm with Kevin Feige. And that's all. It didn't say anything else.
Oh.
So the internet lost its mind. Like, what the fuck? Is Hugh Jackman coming back as Wolverine and in an MCU style?
Wow,
it's big news, and I'm very excited because as much as I understand his want to do other roles, because he's a phenomenal actor, like Prisoners, things like that. I mean, we need more of that shit. Greatest Showman. He's a good singer. We could do a musical X-Men. As much as I love the send off that they had with that character, it's really sad that they finally have the ability to bring the X-Men universe into the MCU as a whole, and then we don't get like Michael Fassbender's Magneto necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We don't get Anna Paquin's Rogue. We don't get Hugh Jackman's fucking Wolverine. Like, the idea of someone else.
Ian McKellen's Magneto.
Yeah. But the idea of someone else playing Wolverine is just like sacrilege to me. So yeah. I'm like really torn on that.
I feel sorry for whoever eventually does that, because that's going to happen eventually. And I feel so sorry for whoever does.
Like, you asked if it was okay that you like them. When I'm watching Logan and there's the scene toward the end of the third act where he, you know, shoots up all this steroids and he goes like comic book Wolverine and like this berserker rage.
Yeah.
I started bawling uncontrollably. And I didn't expect that. Like, it wasn't like, you know, in a movie where you see it coming and you start to well up and you're like, ah, score, you got me. I'm feeling things.
Yeah.
It was out of nowhere. And I just kind of, I don't even know why it happened. But looking back, I'm like, I think, fuck, like, I've had this guy in my life for almost 2 decades as this man who I adore. And now there it is, just perfect. Like, that's it. Anyway, so I hope it happens.
I hope so too. Because, like you said, it's so unfortunate. Fox was the previous owners. Well, like Disney owns Fox now.
Yeah.
But they were the ones that were kind of the stewards of the X-Men ship.
Yes.
And
Sony was Spider-Man. That's right.
They were batting like 50% with their X-Men films because it seemed like there'd be like a really, really amazing X-Men and then the next one was really, really bad.
I actually love Days of Future Past and First Class a lot.
First Class is great. Days of Future Past is great. X2, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Logan, fantastic. But then for every one of those movies, you get Apocalypse and
Last Stand.
Phoenix?
I didn't even watch Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix, yeah.
I didn't either. Like, everyone says that's like the worst of the bunch. So
it can't be worse than Last Stand. Worse
than Apocalypse and Last Stand, it's like,
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
So, full disclosure, I did pop at that line when I first saw the movie because I was a very big, huge fan of the meme that comes from.
Yes.
That's an iconic, you know, early internet fan made video that was just so funny at the time. But, Vinny Jones was a really weird cast choice for the Juggernaut.
Yeah. Yes.
But
it was like Guy Ritchie popped in and directed a few scenes.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal the diamonds, bitch.
I'm very curious to see how they you have to bring the X-Men into the MCU universe. And I would be really excited if they brought Hugh Jackman in. But also there's a part of me that's kind of like, you know, I think it would be really cool to see how they transition that character into someone else. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
At the very least, I want like a First Class style cameo.
Yes.
With him, like where he's smoking the cigar in the bar and that was like a funny thing. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like maybe young Wolverine bumps into him or something and he's like, there's a funny exchange. I don't care. Kevin Feige's really good at that shit.
Yeah.
Give me that at least, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but I really want to see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine interact with Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Jix's Wolverine and Spider-Man were always a fun little pairing to put together. And it's like, you got Hugh Jackman like, hey, bub, I'm Wolverine. And then you got Tom Holland like, hello, Mr. Wolverine, sir. I'm here being a Spider-Man.
Why does your Spider-Man rendition sounds like a character from a Charles Dickens novel?
That's more my impersonation of Tom Holland.
I need more soup.
Hello, sir.
Wolverine.
I'm a very big man.
Have you seen on interviews with him that he sometimes talks in an American accent because he's so used to it?
Really?
Like, he's not being asked to talk in an American accent. He just is.
He's a national treasure and he's not even from our nation.
Yeah, I love Tom Holland.
Yeah, his Rihanna dance number.
Made the
round since 2011. I think you just saw that recently, right? I just saw
it recently for the first time.
Like, mind-blowing, right?
It blew my fucking mind.
If you're ever having a bad day, just pop that on.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. Chef kiss.
Very much so.
The next bit of news. Are you guys fans of the Witcher show on Netflix?
I've been known to toss a coin to my Witcher.
I watched the first episode and then I couldn't get into it.
I highly recommend, because I know what you're saying. We talked about Shadow and Bone earlier and you were like, delving into a whole different universe is very difficult to do at times.
Yes.
Do you play video games at all?
I do.
Did you play The Witcher 3?
I did not.
Also highly recommend that if you're into open world.
I love The Witcher 3. It's my favorite games ever.
I'm assuming there's Witcher 1 and Witcher 2.
I've never played Witcher 1 or 2. Witcher 3 was the first Witcher I've ever played, and it's so good. I'm more of a fan of the game than the show, quite honestly, but the show is very, very faithful, I think, for the most part.
Yes. So both the game and the show are based on a series of books they're like international books translated to English, but they're mostly short stories that are all kind of haphazard. So a lot of it is whole cloth. Just they took the universe and the characters and ran with it for both the game and the shows. So you don't have to go in knowing any of the extra, you know, ancillary source material or anything like that.
Gotcha.
Now the season one of The Witcher is clunky at times because she plays fast and loose with timelines, which might make it a little more enjoyable for you if you know that, like, hey, a lot of the scenes that you're watching are taking place 10 years before some of the other scenes you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't become clear until, you know, by episode seven or eight.
Right.
So it's kind of like Westworld in that way.
Gotcha.
But I love that show. I think Henry Cavill's iteration of The Witcher is spot on. And I've been hanging on with bated breath for season two for so long. And they just announced this new thing called WitcherCon. So they released like a 2-minute teaser on The Witcher season two, and it's going to debut on December 17th of 2021.
Ooh, that's
because due to COVID, none of us knew when season two was going to happen.
It came out December 2019, right?
Yeah, it was over 2 years ago.
I remember it came out like almost the week after Game of Thrones ended. I do remember that.
Yeah, and it was like a really good like balm.
Yeah.
For me.
See, I remember because of that, I was like turned off.
You were just like, I don't know, more swords and, yeah. And
well, naked and it's people. Not even that. It's just, I think, I mean, I don't know if, I'm sure people. Everyone's opinion on the end of Game of Thrones is hoping similar, but I was very much so like, I need a break from that.
I
time.
Thought it ended great. I mean, what, did anybody else think differently?
No, what happened? I heard I'm on season two. I love it. No, I'm kidding.
My daughter Khaleesi's excited to watch it.
Oh,
gotta sit down.
There are so many children named Daenerys. Have you seen those figures?
Yeah.
Bad news bears.
But when I started to watch it, I was just kind of like, okay, my brain needs a break. And I was going to revisit it later on, but I never got the chance to. So maybe now's the time.
Yeah, I mean, if you like sword and sorcery fantasy, which it sounds like you do, mm-hmm. I would highly recommend it. Because, I mean, I'm a huge nerd from way back. Like, everybody that listens to the show knows reading those giant tomes and, like, staring at the world maps and looking at all the little cities and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I spent a lot of time doing that as a kid. So I was really excited, and it's really hard to pull off. A lot of them seem clunky and hokey when you put them into a TV or film format. A few things have nailed it. Lord of the Rings fucking nailed it, right? Game of Thrones, for most of its run, nailed it.
Yeah.
And I think The Witcher nails it. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do for season two. And that's all the news I have this week for Check the Gate, which brings us finally to our review of Black Widow.
We have unfinished business. We have to go back to where it all started.
Lucky us.
One thing's for sure. It's gonna be a hell of a reunion.
That was from the trailer for Black Widow, and I believe we all saw it Thursday night. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good
we
old
did.
11 p.m.
Whoa, even with the late viewing.
I did. I worked until 10:30, and I was meeting a group of friends at 11 o'clock.
Just rushed right over.
AMC right up down the street?
Cinemark in Florence.
Oh, okay. My old stomping ground. Hello. Mm-hmm.
Is it the Rave? It used to be Rave? Is it still Rave?
Rave, yep.
No, it's Cinemark now. Really? Rave doesn't exist because those people are fucking idiots.
Okay.
That's Steve, a podcast for another time.
Steve has a feeling about it. I actually really like that theater. I think it's well made.
It is.
I just don't make it out that way.
It's been around for a while.
Now I'm an AMC Stubbs A-lister, so I will never go anywhere else because I realized what a hootin' deal that is.
Isn't it great to be an AMC A-stub A-lister and just kind of like
better to be able to say it
at the plebes that aren't, and you're just like, oh, look at you having to wait in a normal line while I get to go into the VIP line.
Wow. Because
You get to see three films a week for $20 a month.
Wow.
That's a steal.
Huh.
And you get special lines and
deals on popcorn, things like that. Like a free upgrade to a large because I'm an A-lister.
Wow.
It's actually funny because last night was my first A-list experience, and it's still during COVID. So there's not a whole lot of people there. And I'm like, watch this, Steve. And I get in the private A-list line, but there's also no one in line for the regular lines. But I just refuse to. I'm like, I'm going to do this. Make way for the A-lister. But no one was around.
Stand with these peasant people.
Yes. Even though it's actually costing me less money, which is why I did this.
AMC, the check is in the mail.
Yeah, right. So we'll start with overall thoughts, starting with Madison on Black Widow. So if you haven't seen the film yet, don't run and hide quite yet. We're not going to spoil anything, and we'll have a special bumper for that. But I would expect most of our listeners have seen it. This is a big post-COVID-ish release, right? Like probably the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they brought in like 14 million or something over the first day, which is huge for nowadays.
I mean, we've gone to the movie theater a couple times now, and this is definitely the most full theater has been. Even it was way fuller than even Fast 9.
Even at 11 p.m., it was quite full for a Thursday night. I was quite impressed to see how many people were there. But it was my second experience in a movie theater. I went and saw A Quiet Place 2.
Yay!
And great movie. So this was kind of my second movie experience in COVID. But it was also like my first, I guess you could say, big Marvel experience. I mean, big Marvel experience in the theater again, like a big action-packed movie.
Yeah.
And first impression of it overall, I was blown away. I absolutely loved this movie. It was so fun. I was so engaged throughout the whole movie. The whole atmosphere of the theater and the whole atmosphere that the movie created in the theater was so like exciting and liberating. And it was also like really more funny than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Very, very comedy heavy, which I wasn't expecting. But yeah, it was a very good movie. Highly recommend going to see it.
Awesome. Steve, what were your thoughts on Black Widow?
Unfortunately, I think I'm going to be a little bit of an outlier on this one. Mm-hmm. I would rate this movie a solid C+. Mm. It has an incredible foundation. The cast is great. Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, Rachel Weisz. The core four are so good. And the comedy, like a lot of people are kind of hit or miss on Marvel movies comedy. I think this is generally the funniest Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Other than like Thor Ragnarok or something, like mm-hmm. all sure. the jokes yeah. land, at least for me. The problem I have with the movie is that I really think there was a severe lack of editing. There are some really rough transitions between scenes. It's like they have these really good scenes, but they don't know how quite to get to them. So they have really quick, like establishing shot, establishing shot, establishing shot, establishing shot. Okay, we're here. And it's like, okay, I don't know why. There's a weird flow to the movie from scene to scene. The other thing is the action scenes, I think, lack in certain departments. There's one scene in particular that's really, really great. It stands out. And I think we'll get to it in the spoilers because Chris, you and I were talking about how awesome the scene was. But every other action scene, I felt like there is no tension in them. And that's not because I've seen a lot of people like criticize like, well, this movie should have been made in 2016 when, you know, right after Civil War, which this film takes place after. And it's like, well, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
But this isn't a perfect world. And we all should be incredibly happy that this movie has been made because it's about damn time that they make a Black Widow movie. My problem with it is just like I said, I feel like there's no real suspense in any of the scenes, not because I know what happens to Black Widow, but just because I don't feel like they're directed very well.
What happens?
Is she okay? Is she me? No, I feel like there's no suspense built up in a lot of the action scenes. They're just kind of there. There's like a lot of shit going on. But then at the end of the day, I don't really feel anything. And then especially in the third half when they're like, I think there's four different planes of action happening concurrently. And the way they're edited together is just so haphazard and slapped together. And you cut to like a very dramatic exposition scene in the middle of them all. I just don't feel like it flows very well. And I think that's why I knock it down to a C+, is because I'm so frustrated in that, because I feel like this is an A+, 10 out of 10 movie for me that is held back by weird editing decisions and some poor directing decisions. But overall, I think it's definitely worth your time. Like I said, we should all be incredibly happy that Black Widow as a movie exists, because I really do love that character. And Scarlett Johansson has been just a standout in the series for well over a decade at this point now. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 2 was
2010, something like that.
But she's been a standout for so long, and the fact that she's just now getting her own standalone movie is such a crime in and of itself. But thankfully, it's been made. Thankfully, not only is ScarJo there to kind of really shine and prove why she's been such a mainstay of the franchise, but also we get Florence Pugh, who's just a revelation in this movie. She's so damn good.
And oh, yeah.
David Harbour is so funny in the movie. I mean, do you like Stranger Things, David Harbour? You're going to like Black Widow, David Harbour, you know? And Rachel Weisz, you know, what can I say about Rachel Weisz that hasn't been said about her? She is a national treasure. The woman is great. Yeah, so yeah, go see the movie. I'm frustrated with certain parts of it, but overall, I think it's good. Chris?
Well, I'm trying to take it all in. I don't think I have ever disagreed with Steve more in the history of the show that we've been doing for, like, what, 4 years now, off and on?
Something like that.
In one sense, like, obviously, we both agree that the movie's worth seeing.
He hated the movie. He doesn't believe Black Widow should have gotten one.
I've never disagreed with Steve Moore. She doesn't deserve her own movie. No, that's not true. Don't soundbite that. I adore this movie, and there's a lot of recency bias in my assessment, perhaps. But I think, for me, this movie ranks with... This is top-tier MCU for me. I think it's right up there with Infinity War, mm-hmm. Winter Soldier, Civil War... and Thor Ragnarok, like, it is up there with the best of the best for me. In fact, this movie was written by Eric Pearson, who wrote Thor Ragnarok, which is probably why it's so damn funny, and directed by Kate Shortland.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I was blown away by this movie. I knew I was going to be entertained just because of how much I love David Harbour and Florence Pugh. I actually think that Rachel Weisz was criminally underused and
probably
one of the worst parts of the movie for me, just because I know what she's capable of. And I was like, oh, come on.
I agree.
I didn't notice any kind of editing quibbles or anything like that. But I mean, you're a film editor. I mean, so things like that stand out to you more. I thought that the score was especially impressive. I know Andy, were he here, had a lot to say about how wonderful the score was. But I think that there is an emotional core to this movie that most of the MCU is actually missing. Like, as entertaining as they are, and you know, as much as we love the characters, like the thematic elements within each film in and of itself never rise up to meet what this film does, except in instances like Winter Soldier or Black Panther, or, you know, those are isolated films that have like their own pathos or whatever, not to get too pretentious, that I think I was really like leaning forward, like, oh shit, like I deeply care about these women and like what they're going through. And I thought that the violence in this movie was grittier and more real than anything Marvel's ever tried to do. I can't talk about too, but there's a scene where some of the characters fight and they're like heads are slamming into cabinets and through tables in a way that felt, and then you see bruises and you know what I mean? Like it felt so real. I was like, oh, Disney trying to do some shit. Was it?
Oh, Disney.
It was very like Atomic Blonde, like David Leitch out of nowhere. And I was like, okay.
Oh, Disney.
And I wish they had gone further with that, but I'm aware in that corporate algorithm they just literally can't. But anyway, that's all my overall thoughts. I absolutely love this fucking movie. I think it's one of the best in the MCU. Let's move into spoilers right now.
You are entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
So for those that don't know, actually, that's not true. None of you don't know because you're in the spoiler territory now, right? So we finally get, and that's another thing I wanted to point out real quick too. So Steve was talking about like the no shit people. That's one of my only criticisms is that had this movie come out in 2017, it would be absolutely perfect. And it's so frustrating that it isn't now. Like all of the stakes and everything that thematically that it builds up to.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either. I'm happy. Really? I'm happy it came out post Endgame. I mean, obviously it would have been a lot nicer to have it, you know, because Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow deserved a movie a lot sooner in my personal opinion. But I think the arc of her character with this movie specifically, the ending, the end scene. End
you credits, think that it's knowing how it ends. It has more meaning. It's interesting.
I think so, because ultimately it kind of reminded me of Rogue One in a way from Star Wars, because I was like, we know the ending of that movie.
And it is not good.
Yeah. Well, well, I think it was just more or less like, it kind of kept me on my toes, because I was like, we haven't seen Florence Pugh post, you know, we didn't see her in Infinity War, we didn't see her in Endgame, nor did we see David Harbour and Rachel Weisz. But it's like, what are the fate of these characters? Like, where is this going? And I liked that there wasn't necessarily like, I don't know, there wasn't so much of an expectation for these characters. It was just like, this is Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow's story. Yeah. And that's the focus of it. And I liked that it wasn't jaded by how does this movie tie into Infinity War? How does this movie tie into the end for Endgame and like Avengers? That's what I liked about it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a fair argument.
Also, I think this movie, there's a big subplot in the movie that kind of deals with human trafficking and like the Me Too movement as well. There's definitely, I mean, I'm pretty sure Ray Winstone is supposed to be a mix of Harvey Weinstein and Isaac Perlmutter all in one.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, some people might think this is a little too heavy handed, but I think it's great. But I don't think you would have gotten the weight of those characters if those real life events had not happened. I don't think that happened. You know, that obviously that didn't happen before 2016. Also, I mean, this movie is already being compared heavily to Winter Soldier, that it's like the same story beats as Winter Soldier. Same similar action scenes, like the shot of Taskmaster shooting the arrow underneath the van and blowing it up is almost exactly identical to Bucky shooting his little bomb under Nick Fury's car. Bucky's little bomb. And so I think if that movie came out shortly after Winter Soldier, if this movie had come out shortly after that, I think a lot of people would have picked it apart even more for the similarities. And I don't think those similarities are necessarily fair, but I think because there's a little bit of room between these movies, it allows people to kind of forget that they are a little similar, which is, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, like the Seinfeld refrain.
What's the deal with this movie?
So, Madison, let's start with you. I mean, is there anything in particular that you want to highlight now that we're in spoiler territory about what you enjoyed so much? Or
I think my, kind of like what I said before, my biggest surprise was how funny it was. I wasn't expecting it to be, especially with Florence Pugh.
Yeah, her specifically. I was shocked.
So good.
I was, because again, I wanted to have, I don't want to say low expectations, but I didn't want to fill my head with so much, because I feel like that's what people did with WandaVision, and that's like a whole other thing. But like, I feel like people had such like, ooh, what does this thing mean? What does this mean? And I was just kind of like, I just want to like take it for what it is. And I feel like listening to like Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson, like chemistry on screen, that in particular made the movie for me.
100%.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but I couldn't help but feel like I was comparing this movie to Captain Marvel in a sense that, because I feel like, I know, Steve, you mentioned kind of like the Me Too feminist movement, that type of thing. And I feel like where the Captain Marvel movie missed out on a lot of those marks, in my personal opinion, I feel like a lot of the commentary and the comments about that were a little too on the nose and a little too like forced on the audience, where I felt like in Black Widow it was insanely fluid and it went perfectly well with the movie. So I guess that's, yeah.
There is one really bad on the nose line that I think is just a bad line in general.
Oh, really?
It's the Ray Winstone's like big thing at the end of the movie. It's like, it's the one resource that the world has too much of. Girls.
Yeah.
And like, I think that line would be better if he just added little girls. I don't know why. Yeah. There's something weird about like the one resource, girls.
I don't know. I didn't take it that way. I think, and again, it's not for me to speak. I also identify as a man, right? So it's just like, what can I really say about how it hit me that's going to carry any weight? But I mean, it didn't seem very hokey to me, especially in the set piece that it was in. There was a lot going on, A and B. It's right after she had slammed her face down to break her own nose, which again, for Disney, I was like, okay.
That moment in particular, I just remember because it was me and two other women with me. And I just remember we both were like, oh my God, like that was insane. And kind of like what you said about how it was a lot more like, I don't know, raw violence.
Yeah.
And I felt that throughout the whole movie, especially the scene when Florence Pugh's character and Scarlett Johansson, they meet in the room.
That's
and
the one like, I was talking about.
Tossing each other around. And like, they are like, it was kind of painful to watch, but also it was so exhilarating because you're just like, wow, like that is so real, so raw.
Yeah. That's the action scene I was talking about that I felt like actually was great.
Yeah.
Because there's one point where ScarJo flips Pugh or maybe vice versa, like into the door, and it just looks so brutal.
It looks so painful. And that scene does a lot.
I needed Tylenol watching that. Yeah. Like, oh man.
It's entertaining. It's grounded and gritty, but at the same time, it also does a lot to establish, Yelena as a force to be reckoned with, because we know what Natasha can do, as a fighter. You know, she runs with the Avengers, right? She's an Avenger. Yelena holds her ground, right? They end up in a sort of a stalemate. I mean, I feel like Natasha had the upper hand on the the choking
she
at
has
the end.
Experience.
Right.
She's wizened.
Also, I know we're going to be jumping around a lot. I apologize in advance, or at least I'm going to be. I wanted to see if you guys picked up on a few things that might not actually be there that I think they're trying to do, or maybe it's obvious. But at the end, when she smashes her nose and she says something that I forget, that's in reference.
Sever the nerve.
No, she says something like, thanks for your cooperation, which is in reference to her
Loki
interview
with Loki when she was interrogating him, trying to figure out what his play was.
Yeah, like that's her move, right?
Yeah.
And then also when she's tied to the chair, when we first see her character and she pretends to be getting beat up, you know, so that kind of shit, they did a lot of that throughout this film in order to kind of send her off. And I really appreciated that. There was also a few nods.
Those are pretty subtle, too.
Yeah.
That's what was well done about it. It wasn't like on the nose, like. I don't know what would be. I can't even think of an example of what something on the nose would be.
It wasn't on the nose because they severed the nerve.
But yes.
Wow.
The New Balances are coming running. so there's a lot of references to Budapest, which is in reference to her conversation.
You're saying it correctly now.
Yes, I started to since last night.
Are you sure it's not Budapest?
Because her and Hawkeye have this little interchange, and I forget which film, but it's like, that's not how I remember Budapest.
It's several films, I think.
I think it
starts in the first Avengers movie, but they make reference to it all the time.
Yeah, that was cool to see when they were up in the vent hiding from, I forget what the villain's name.
Taskmaster,
and you can see like the tic-tac-toe marks.
Yeah,
and
that looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, but it was, I don't know, it's cool because I don't know if we'll ever get that story on film, what actually happened in Budapest, but it's cool to have that whole instance be an event in the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
but we actually don't know what happened.
It felt so lived in instead of,
well, wasn't it her blowing up Ray Winston and his daughter? Wasn't that the Budapest job? And then they like ran and hid. That wasn't that.
I guess. Yeah.
That's the sense that I got.
Yeah.
I guess you don't really see it. You just see her.
Yeah.
Looking out the window as the building blows up. And then then it's alluded to their hijinks over the course of several days hiding from the law.
Yeah.
It was also really cool. At some point, like right in the beginning of the second act, we get Natasha with a box of blonde hair dye and you're kind of like smirking like, okay. And then she doesn't use it. Right. She's got the red hair for the rest of the film until the very end,
right.
Which of course she has the blonde hair throughout Infinity War and Endgame. So just little things like that I thought were really well done that brought me some joy, but didn't take away from the current story I was watching at all. It wasn't too ham fisted or anything like that. So anyway,
what do you guys think of the opening sequence of when they were kids? And
loved it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Funny story about my theater experience, because Chris, Andy and I were in the same showing, but I had already had tickets with other
friends.
His
entourage.
My entourage. Yeah, my A-lister entourage. We all got our tickets together. AMC check is in the mail. So we were sitting far away from each other. So you guys didn't hear what I heard and vice versa. Cause you guys also had some crazy people.
Yeah.
Talking.
We sat next to some idiots.
So the opening scene, it's, Natasha, what's Florence Pugh's character's name?
Yelena.
It's them as young girls. And it has like this big, like splash, like Ohio, 1990, whatever. And because, you know, we live in Kentucky, but the AMC that we see is literally across the river from Ohio. So a lot of people who live in Ohio go to the AMC. Because you literally leave that theater and you can see Ohio. So when that splash came up, a lot of people were like, oh, Ohio, I'm from there. Ah! And there was like this big kerfuffle about that reveal. And then like a pregnant pause after everyone died down, I just heard this guy behind me go like, I mean, we're in Kentucky, but okay.
And it was just like, God, I miss movie theaters.
Just that dude was like not impressed by everyone freaking out about it. Like, okay, idiots.
Yeah, I thought that whole opening set piece was wonderfully done because I'm not an avid comic book reader, like superhero comic book reader. So I don't know truly like the backstory of Black Widow. Mm-hmm. I have no history to like or dislike with this iteration of Taskmaster. So I'm just like completely confused and engrossed. Like, okay, what is this? Obviously that's Natasha. Who is that? I guess that's Florence Pugh later. Like I'm piecing it all together. Yeah. And I thought it was like this wonderfully contained, like little spy thriller short film. until you see that David Harbour has superpowers at one point, like flips a car over and you're like, oh, okay. You're just like hanging on a plane as it takes off. But I thought that was really well done because I'm kind of confused at what's going on.
It's very The Americans, but
yeah, in the Marvel absolutely. Universe. But that there's a part where he comes in and she's like, already? And you can see that Natasha, as an older child, can remember the Red Room. And so she doesn't want to leave. She's enjoyed this normal life. And the youngest daughter, Yelena, has no idea, right? So she's like, what's going on? Yeah, adventure.
My song.
It's really well done. Those actresses, by the way, young Natasha was played by Ever Anderson and Violet McGraw.
What, they were in The Haunting of Hill House?
Violet was, yes.
Yeah. She was young Nell.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Really, really good performances from the tots, I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, that opening scene, because it really does establish the family connection, which I think was to establish it that early was genius, because going into this movie, I kept thinking, like, we don't know these people. How are they going to pull this off? Natasha has a family this whole time. And that scene really does kind of like really solidify it quickly. And then the ensuing action scene that's like on the plane, there actually was suspense in that one.
Yeah.
I really liked how that played out. There's only one criticism I have in hindsight is in that opening scene. You don't get a feel. I feel like you don't really truly get a feel for who David Harbour's character is. Because in that opening scene, it's like David Harbour, like, I love my daughters. Hey, let's go. And then the next time you see him is like, I'm stupid and selfish and I'm not at all what you saw.
I see what you're saying and you're probably right, but I kind of liked that because there's this point where they get off the plane. Melina's character is being carted off on a gurney. Melina's being carted off on a gurney with a gunshot wound. There's all these like Russian/Sokovian soldiers or whatever. And I'm really confused at this point. Right. And it helps that like the casting was perfect because not only David Harbour is known as Hap, right? He's this very lovable, good man, right? Mm-hmm. Salt of the earth kind of guy. That's how I see him. And so it was very easy to see him as a good father and loving husband.
The mornings are for coffee and contemplation, right, guys.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he doesn't care about his injured quote unquote wife at all. He's not consoling his children at all. He's walking right up to the general guy who's French from The Departed. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, what's up? Clap, clap, smile. And I'm like, no, your wife's really injured. What, your children are crying uncontrollably. What's going on? Right. Like I was so confused and disconcerted.
Yeah.
And I didn't piece that in until like 20 minutes after we reintroduced the character later. And I kind of like that. Like what? Cause I kind of, did you guys have that sense at all? It's just vaguely like, why is he so happy? She'll be fine. She's a strong woman. You know, like, and I'm just like, that's not what a loving husband would do.
I actually read that as like, he's just being a professional. Like this is, I'm completing my mission. We're safe now. And because then he turns and he has that like, my girls are so strong. And I felt like he really cared about them in that moment. Yeah. So like when you fast forward in the future, it was like, oh, well, this is such a whiplash.
Yeah. His character for me.
Not Mickey Rourke from Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
His character for me, because like when that happened and they separated when they were younger and then when they revisited and he kept like, because Yelena was like, you keep talking about yourself. And Natasha was like, why would... You know, you haven't seen me in so long, but yet you're going to ask me about you. Like, it's just, I was hopeful that he would come around and he eventually did. But his relationship with Melina kind of was, I was just like, were they in love with each other? Because like.
Oh, there's definitely something going
on. Well, yeah, there was. But it was also like he was so distant at the beginning. And I was like, oh, this, they're not going to have that like fatherly love that they were hoping for. But then. It got better towards the end, which I was happy about.
So. There was actually a choice that they made when they're in the third act and Red Guardian's actually in prison. He thinks he's not hip to the plan. So he's locked in the cage next to who he thinks is confusing to say, but he's who he thinks is Natasha, but it's actually Melina. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to give that like big, I'm the man, I'm the star actor of this. So I get to have this reconciliation speech for being a piece of shit my entire life. And then they cut it off and he's not privy to this escape plan at all. The women have taken charge of it. And she's like, she didn't hear you. Sorry. And he's like, oh shit, I was doing the thing with like, you know, and then later he tries to say it again. He's like, you don't have an earpiece. And why not? So they don't allow him to have the satisfaction of like his big salve apology. Yeah. And then at the end, when he finally gets the opportunity, he was like, I would just mess it up. Right. So I love that they chose like, fuck him. You don't get to like feel better. Like you know what I mean? Like, I just really enjoyed that. I wanted to see what you guys thought of that.
No, I like that.
I still think he got to feel better because there was a mutual.
Sure. But you know what I mean? Like he didn't get spotlight out of it. It's just like you don't get like cookies for this, you know, for finally doing the nice thing or the normal thing. Right. Wait, what? I just got out of prison. I have lots of energy. Such a funny movie.
But you mentioned in the non-spoiler that they underused Rachel Wise. And I agree with that. And I think too, because I saw it in like Natasha getting back together with her family, you know, reconnecting with Yelena and then breaking Alexei. Is that David Harbour's?
Yes.
Breaking David Harbour out of jail. And then I felt like the meeting of the mom was kind of Rachel Weisz's character was just kind of, it was so like simply like, we're just going to walk to her house. And there's like a part of me that's like, she's a black widow. Like she is a secret agent. Like why was that so quote unquote easy for them to do? Even though she did quote unquote double cross them and call the,
she like double crossed.
Yeah.
That was the only part of the script that I completely forgave based on how good that action set piece was and how much I was enjoying myself overall. But that was the clunkiest part of the script for me.
Yeah.
The whole one, as soon as Melina's introduced and then Rachel Weisz, I'm not like, they're using about 50% of her acting talent with the lines that they gave her. And then how they just kind of wrapped up that she did love her daughters and she's part of this plan. And that whole plan itself was very like, I didn't know they had that face technology. What the fuck's going on right now? Okay. Yeah. You know what? Screw it. I'm in. Okay. Yeah.
I really am not a big fan of the last act, just because they do introduce a lot of stuff that they don't set up at all. And it seems like they did it three times where it's like, I have this control over you. No, you don't. Why?
Well, oh, the pheromone stuff.
Here's a flashback to the closet that we didn't see earlier.
Right.
Okay, cool. And then they do it again. Like, I can do this with my face. Well, no, you can't. Here's a flashback from, and it's like, stop going back to that closet and just don't do this. And
you introduced the pheromone thing and the fact that you've already subverted it.
I never in my life again want to hear the term pheromone lock. Every time I said it, I was like, ew, stop it. which is probably the point, because again, Ray Winstone is clearly supposed to be Harvey Weinstein / Isaac Perlmutter. And that the pheromone lock is definitely something that a gross man would do. But every time they said it, I was like, gross. Like he's like, whenever you smell me, you cannot hurt me when you smell me. Like, stop saying smell me in Russian. It's so nasty. But like, I just did not like how they just introduced all these wild concepts. Like they introduced the Mission Impossible face mask thing, which,
well,
did they do that in any of the other movies? Yes, I couldn't remember.
Black Widow used that in, I forget what movie specifically, but she used it to.
Oh, it was Winter Soldier because she was the German consular that she tricked Robert Redford with. Okay, yeah.
So that makes sense. That was a surprise for me, but I wasn't quote unquote, hello motorcycle. Oh, hey. So it was a surprise, like it was a twist of some kind for me, but I also was like, I recognized that action that they did with the face masks thing from that other movie. So I wasn't like, oh, what is this, you know?
Yeah, I just wish they would have set it up a little bit to remind people like, hey, this is technology.
Yeah, like maybe she could use it to go buy supplies when she's in hiding and early in the film or something. Yeah. But especially still,
back to back, because again, potatoes. The whole like sever small the nerve potato. Thing, like even though that's such a cool visual of ScarJo like breaking her own nose in such a badass way,
don't
when she's like,
don't say anything bad about it.
She's like, I severed the nerve. And when she said it, I'm like, but did you? I don't really understand. Like, where is the nerve? Like, and like, they don't explain that really well.
It's like in the thing.
You don't have to know.
I apparently
she just
not.
Punched the shit out of him, and that's all that needs to.
Yeah. I mean, I love watching Ray Winstone get his ass kicked, especially after he said pheromone lock six or seven times. But like,
I've never every as soon as I saw, I full disclosure, The Departed is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I absolutely adore
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, yes, but specifically Ray Winstone was. what do you get your period? You like that whole scene where he's ordering a cranberry juice at the bar. And anyway, so I thought he was perfectly cast, right? It was just like basically the same guy, but he was more successful. Anyway, big fan.
What did you guys think about just the Taskmaster in general?
So I, the reason
that is,
I said
that is the biggest difference in comic books, I think, because I when I saw that the reveal of who Taskmaster was, I immediately thought like, ooh, a bunch of neckbeards are gonna be all butthurt about this one.
Sure.
If they were butthurt about
Early on the movie,
they're gonna be butthurt about this 10 times over.
I didn't have any, again, I mentioned that specifically that way just to preface this conversation, because I don't have any history or expectations with this character.
Yeah.
In fact, early in the movie, somebody said something, I think it was Natasha, and she was like, he's gaining on us. And I was sitting there in my chair like, I'm 90% sure that's a woman just because of the movie that we're in and the mm-hmm. message that I'm seeing so far. And of course it was. Apparently it's not supposed to be. So obviously I'm not upset about that. So yeah. It doesn't bother me at all. He's supposed to be some sort of like He-Man-esque villain. Sure.
Yeah. His whole thing is he analyzes people's fighting styles and can.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done. That first set piece where he's fighting Natasha on the bridge.
That's the best set piece.
I thought was fucking amazing. With like when character. She, I don't know what the word is, like strings her up by her foot with the fucking harpoon thing, the grapple hook. There it is.
Yeah.
And then the way that she just flips out of it and comes right back down. Like that was like Terminator-esque terrifying. Like you can't stop her.
Yeah.
I really thought they were going to do, I really like the effect because she has those goggles on, right?
Uh-huh.
But you can see like a red scanner scan go across whenever people are fighting. And I was really wanting them to do like some very cool thing where maybe she's in the room with a character she's supposed to be protecting. And then there's like a tense scene. And then also you just see the scan. Oh, she's going to fight. But that didn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Steve would have done.
I hype myself up for something that didn't happen.
I have a couple of really important questions for both of you.
Vanilla.
Do you think Dracov is dead?
Is that Ray Winston?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we saw his glasses get blown up.
I think he's like a bigger
his glasses
force.
Are dead.
And that's true. We did see the glasses. The only reason I think that it's not 100%, even though his spaceship exploded and he would have had to fall hundreds of feet, is because he and his daughter were also in the building that exploded.
That's true.
Yeah. And she just had like a two-face thing instead of just being completely dead.
And he was fine.
Who knows what kind of plot armor they could give him later. Yeah. I think he's dead as well. I heard some comic book fans, I almost said something else, behind me say, oh, he's definitely not dead. And I haven't done any research or anything, so I just want to know what you all think.
I think if Marvel was playing it right, in my personal opinion, like Natasha tried to kill him once. She killed him a second time. And I think bringing him back for a third time would be almost like, come on, you know?
The only way they could do it is if Florence Pugh gets her own mm-hmm. spinoff show and he somehow comes back for that. That's literally the only way, because you're not going to have him come back and be like, oh, yeah. Black Panther, we meet again. Like, that's not going to.
Again, I'm completely ignorant as to how this actually plays out in the canon of the comics, but I do know that Florence Pugh has been cast in mm-hmm. the Disney Plus Hawkeye show.
Hell yeah.
So she's 100% going to be in that, which is what the Stinger was about. Mm-hmm. You got.
Isn't that wild? Now the Marvel movies are referencing the Marvel TV shows.
It's what we could have had with Netflix, but those are all just thrown in the trash now.
Don't remind me.
I would like to see Daredevil pop up. I mean,
dude, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, even Luke Cage was great.
100%. We don't have to talk about Iron Fist.
Yeah, no.
I am the immortal Iron Fist. So we get that. Okay, so the Stinger, we're waiting through the credits, as we all know we need to do in a Marvel film. And then we see Julie Louise Dreyfus's character that showed up in Falcon and Winter Soldier mm-hmm. Show up to recruit Yelena. And apparently she's already been working with her. We get a quick summation there and says, hey, do you want the person that's responsible for your sister's death? And shows a photo of Hawkeye, which is not true. And so what do you guys think about that? How we might see Yelena's character play out in the future? Do you think she's going to be the new Black Widow for like movie films, the MCU for the moving pictures?
Double redundancy.
Coming yes. near you.
My biggest thing is I just hope they don't make her a villain, so to speak, because I feel like with that Louis Dreed what's her name?
Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Something. But her giving Yelena the task to kill Clint Barton, I feel like is like going to be such a, I don't know. I don't want her character to be labeled as a villainous character or have negative like energy towards Clint Barton, especially when, I don't know, I feel like there's so many other characters and villains that he could pursue, I guess. I don't know. But in terms of her being Black Widow, I think her walking up to the group of Black Widows at the end of the movie kind of in my mind was like, oh, she's going to be the one that's running the shit now, not the other guy. And she's going to train them to kind of be.
Well, they got a lot of other girls to free.
Yeah, they got
right?
free yeah. everybody.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where her destiny is going versus being trying to be like her sister. So I think she's going to focus more on that.
I would 100% pay oodles of money to see Yelena's movie. I absolutely adored her character. Yeah. And I've been in love with Florence Pugh ever since way, way back. I mm-hmm. think the first movie I saw was Lady Macbeth.
That's the first movie. That's the first movie I saw.
Yeah. And I was like, who the fuck is this?
Well, you know? I saw that movie and I really enjoyed her, but I wasn't a big fan of the movie itself. And
sure,
then I
same.
Watched, and then I watched her in Fighting With My Family.
Yep.
And that movie.
I told Steve to watch it for her alone.
Yeah. The show itself or the movie itself is really good. I liked it.
Well, he has feelings about the actual people it's based on that are clouding his judgment of the film. Because apparently they're terrible people.
They are not.
But if you delete that from your brain and just think of this as a fun, wholesome family that likes wrestling, it's a really good, fun movie.
I mean, the Rock, the Dwayne Johnson's in it. So.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Frost. And Nick Frost. Yeah, it's a shame because Nick Frost and Lena Headey, I love those characters, but they are not playing good people. And I'm pretty sure that movie's like, look how awesome this family is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not awesome.
Well, definitely. I didn't think they shed him in a very good light, but I could see where the determination and the want to be in the WWE came from. So, but anyway.
Yeah, so I'm 100% excited for Yelena. I don't think she'll be a villain in the Hawkeye show very long. I'm actually a little annoyed with that conceit, but everybody around me seemed to be really like, oh man.
Oh, dude.
And I immediately was like, God, we're going to have to spend 3 episodes with them trying to figure out that they're both good people. Yeah. And then we get like a fun interaction with them. That's frustrating in advance.
Well, and I think too, it'll be interesting because I don't know how much of Clint Barton knows of Natasha's quote unquote family. And so I think it would be interesting to see Clint Barton interacting with Yelena. That is, you know, Natasha's younger sister.
Yeah. And for what I understand, the Hawkeye show is going to center mostly around him training his daughter or some, like his daughter's going to be taking up the mantle of Hawkeye. I think in that show.
Is that his daughter? Is that
revoke my nerd card.
I don't know if it's the same actress, but like the daughter he's teaching how to shoot arrows in the beginning of Endgame. Like, cause she does become Hawkeye in the comics eventually.
Okay. Haley Steinfeld's character Haley you're talking Steinfeld. About, right?
Yeah.
Kate Bishop.
Yeah. That's my understanding. So like, but it's interesting that, you know, maybe they'll become a team. Like his daughter and Florence Pugh are going to go around and
that would be cool.
Shoot arrows and kick butt.
Kick butt.
We got Vera Farmiga, Florence Pugh, and Haley Steinfeld. And
Vera Farmiga is
where is that at?
It's on IMDb. I didn't know Vera Farmiga.
I didn't know she was in that either.
I love me some Vera.
That's Eleanor Bishop, so it's probably Kate Bishop's mom. So anyway, I'm super stoked. That's going to be in the fall of this year. Hawkeye.
Did you guys like the? Speaking of referencing this to other Marvel shows, well, it's the same Marvel show, Captain or Falcon, the Winter Soldier. David Harbour's character is often like, I fought Captain America in the 80s, which is clearly not Steve Rogers because Steve Rogers is.
You think he was talking about Isaac?
I think, or Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah, Isaiah. That's right. I thought he was just making it up.
Well, I thought he was too in that scene where he breaks the guy's hand, but then later on he like legitimately is like, does he talk about me?
What did you guys think about
who I'm talking about?
Taskmaster, mimicking the Avengers? Was that what was going on? What was with the Captain America shield-esque fighting style? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that because it was kind of like, because Red Guardian talks shit about Captain America the whole film, and then he finally gets to fight Taskmaster. Why is that so hard to say?
Taskmaster.
I'm just going to say TM. Finally gets to find the TS Masker. That's how the guys behind me in the theater were talking the whole time during the fucking movie. Not even whispering. Don't make me go on a rant. I'm still upset about it.
Oh, man, rant. I want to hear it.
These people have no idea of what it's like to interact with other people in a society. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm also a nerd. I love films. I'm going to go home and watch people fight with swords and then play God of War. And like, I'm all for it. Let's all enjoy this together. But you don't have to turn to your friend to say misogynistic things. At least whisper, like, act like you give a fuck that I paid an equal amount of money to watch this movie. Like, I don't need to hear your thoughts on Scarlett Johansson's ass and like you're by yourself in a fucking room somewhere.
You're an A-lister, damn it.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm an A-lister.
I don't understand. But I mean, and then have like conversations about like what a character means or how they're going to play in the next film with dozens of people sitting around you. And like, what is wrong with you? I almost lost my shit. And I rarely do that. I'm usually like, oh, God bless them. But I was really upset.
Yeah.
No, it was a interesting theater experience. There's a lot of loud people in our theater, but
I don't know if I talked about it with you. I think I did. There's the scene at the end when they reference them as little girls where they say, hey, we're both upside down. Just like when they were both doing. I forget what that yoga pose is called. But the guy at the behind me was like, she just ask if they're upside down? And like, I wanted to turn around and like choke him and be like, it's a reference to the beginning of the movie that you were talking over. You know what I mean? God.
Like, maybe if you weren't talking, you would understand.
Yeah,
that.
It was such Poser. A, it was a good, I'm like Poser. Tearing up. Poser. I'm tearing up. I know what's coming, you know, for her character. I'm like, I'm really all in on the emotion. And there's just like this, somebody stabbing an ice pick.
Yeah. Not during the movie, thank God, but there was a guy that was, I don't know. We had all of the trailers beforehand and he would like talk out the whole time during the trailers. Like, we want to see the movie. We want to see the movie. I'm like, dude,
it's coming.
You know, you've been in a movie theater before. You know what? There's tons of trailers before. So
this is the deal.
Yep.
And actually, compared to Fast 9, that was a very like economical amount of trailers.
It was.
F9 was crazy.
Oh my God.
35 minutes.
Wow.
35
including
minutes of trailers.
A 6-minute Jurassic World Dominion trailer.
Yeah, we were sitting in that theater for almost 40 minutes before they started that movie.
Yeah, wow. I was super excited when the movie started. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, already? There's like, I had the opposite experience just because I was so traumatized by F9.
Yeah, I was very when that like feature presentation, I'm like, ooh, yay, hopefully they don't play the Jurassic World Dominion
thing. I thought they just fucked up the trailer editing, what did you call it? Playlist. But nope.
So I have a question for you guys. What do you guys think of the whole, because obviously the movie centers around this family, this fake family that Natasha, you know, had referenced.
Hey, it was real to me.
It was real to me. But I'm curious your guys' thoughts on, you know, do you think that direction that they went was the right move for Black Widow's, like, I guess, solo movie?
I think so. And this could just be my bias being colored here, is because I do think those scenes where it's ScarJo and Florence, the whole family sitting at the dinner table, all the quiet scenes where it's them, you know, talking about family, what it means to be family, becoming closer as a family. I thought those were hands down the best scenes in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's when the best acting comes in. That's when some of the funniest lines come in. I enjoyed that part of the movie the best. But I also think it fits real well with her character because, you know, especially towards when we get to like Infinity War and Endgame, a big part of her character is this sense of family. And in those movies, it's the Avengers. She has this family. And
it's getting more and more like Fast and Furious as you talk.
I mean, Vin Diesel was going to come out at any point and be like, you can come into the barbecue.
No, he would say,
as long as you get
a
Corona. Oh, yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting.
I love barbecue.
But yeah, it's fitting that she gets this family in the Avengers, loses it at this point in the timeline, reconnects with her old one that kind of reaffirms that's what she's missing, that's what she wants, and then she kind of
that's what she had found in the Avengers, sure.
And then she doubles down on it in the later Avengers film because she now knows like this is who I am, this is what I want, and she doesn't have her past holding her back anymore because she now realizes what she needs. Chris,
I would say yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I'm feeling like I'm projecting on you maybe that you have an alternative that's probably amazing, but I loved it. That's
me shaking my head. No.
Well, that's what I loved about the movie was specifically the interaction of her and Yelena, you know, Florence Pugh's character, where they acted like sisters, mm-hmm. like almost, what's the word? Almost in spite of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, especially the car, my favorite part of the movie probably is so dumb, but when she's sitting there talking about her vest and how many pockets it has. And it's special to her because that's the first piece of clothing that she bought herself. Mm-hmm. And you know, Natasha's just kind of like, that's a hideous vest and like driving, but also like, I get it. And so it's cute. And it's like, I do like the vest. It's, you know, it's like, I know you love the vest. You know, but like that moment, such that moment a good is moment.
So adorable when you can tell Florence Pugh is trying to be like, I don't know, it's okay. I mean, it's a cool vest. And then when she admits that she likes it, she's like, right? Yeah. It's still functional.
Yeah. I absolutely adored that moment.
The moments where Yelena is making fun of Black Widow's like poses.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, such a poser, such a poser. And it's, and then she does it. She does the pose and she just like,
why did I do that? Yeah. But it's so tempting to do, right?
Yeah.
Or like when she drops out of the helicopter and does the pose afterward and Elena's just looking down, like rolling her eyes like, Jesus Christ. And I like that Red Guardian again, he just gets his ass kicked the entire movie. He never, correct me if I'm wrong, he never does anything cool except arm wrestle after the original opening scene when he's younger. It like TM beats the shit out of him and he gets saved by Melina.
Well, I mean, I think, and I don't know if this is from a woman's perspective and seeing it, like this movie is all about the women in it. And so getting a man beat the shit out of, I mean, I think it's, I don't want to say appropriate, but but I mean, you see so many scenes where the man kind of takes homage and is like the hero and such. And so I think it's cool to have like, it's almost kind of like, no, that is not the focus of this movie.
Yeah. You're not the hero here.
Yeah.
And I really, but it didn't come like,
it didn't come across as like,
couldn't see the seams or anything. It wasn't heavy handed, like, oh, girl power. Yay. Like, you know, and again, I'm a man, so it's hard for me to see if like, my sexism is coming through when I'm watching a movie like that, or if it's just like, no, it's just legitimately done poorly. It's not working. You know, it's pandering. But this movie never felt pandering to me. It just felt so lived in and real and needed.
Which is why I reference me constantly comparing it to Captain Marvel, who was another female lead, which is another movie that I was very excited to see. And so I feel like with what they missed in Captain Marvel, they really picked up with.
You felt like Captain Marvel crossed the line. It was kind of pandering. And
it was, felt like it was pandering. It was on a little too on the nose with the feminism and the Me Too. And I don't know, it felt like forced. And I don't know if that was just bad writing or bad acting, but I just was like, this one felt more, just more fluid and more natural.
I thought you loved Captain Marvel.
I do love Captain Marvel in the sense of...
But this movie shits on it, Steve.
in reference to Black Widow, I have to say I much more prefer Black Widow than I do Captain Marvel. I think it's more so the essence and the aesthetic of Black Marvel is so cool and so awesome. But in terms of that message of feminism and that message of woman power, it... I don't want to say it doesn't lack in terms of power, because obviously Captain Marvel is a very powerful strength, like woman, but in terms of like that regard, in terms of the writing, I was just like, doesn't fit for me.
I may go see it again. In the IMAX viewings, they were giving out these free comic books. And the second issue is only available if you go see it again next week, which is brilliant marketing on the part of AMC, unless you're an A-lister and you will be spending zero extra dollars.
You need to show up in the theater.
Is this
with
a promo for AMC A-listers?
No,
only $20.
We do it all for free. We're so stupid.
Shameless plug.
Checks in the mail.
You just need to show up to the AMC with like a white ascot and like
a what
is ascot? Is
I don't know.
But you know, talk about that like little
scarf, the kerchief thing.
Kerchief.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. And then like thick sunglasses and like maybe like a boat jacket and just like, hello, I'm the A-lister here to see Black Widow wears.
And then I'll pull out my stopwatch and say, for the 8:10 showing.
Actually, when you were talking about something you said earlier, Chris, randomly reminded me of what I thought was the funniest line in the movie. It was the one, like there was a lot of funny moments, but this one actually got me to chuckle for a longer period of time than the audience did, and I had to stifle it for a while because I kept laughing when everyone had stopped. And it was at the very end when David Harbour and Rachel Weisz, they have landed on the ground, they're walking towards her, and Rachel Weisz is like limping pretty bad, and Scarlett Johansson is like, "You all right?" And she goes, "Well, I'm very clearly injured." Yes.
That was extremely funny.
Just the way she delivered it was like, duh.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, because usually when a movie does that, like the hero, like, "No, I'm good. I'm good." But yeah. Like, I'm very clearly injured.
I had such a blast. I had such a blast with this movie. Yeah. I mean,
that's turned me around, and I was like a C+ before. Now I think I'm getting more towards a B.
I can see where you're coming from in terms of the editing. I think towards the end, I can see where it was a little like just splashed together. But also I think too, I mean, I'm not a film editor, but it was also just like in the moment action sequence, like splicing a bunch of these moments together. But yeah, I'm glad we turned you around, and you're
a true believer now.
You are.
Sounds true believers.
We've taken you to the red room of criticism.
Oh my God.
Just a poor.
I need to get a red glow stick and blow it up in my face so I can get this mind control out of me.
Yes, that's all that was glow sticks that she took from Burning Man. Mm-hmm. She's just giving them out. It's fixing everybody.
So I think you mentioned wanting to do this, Chris. If you were to take Marvel movies and you kind of had them in tiers, so you had the S tier, which is like the best of the best, and then A tier, B tier, C, D, F being the worst, F being where Thor the Dark World lives. Where would you guys put this in your tier of Marvel films? Because you mentioned this earlier, Chris, that it's almost impossible to rank all 20 whatever films there are at this point.
I think, yeah.
You know, so what tier would you put this movie in?
Honestly, S.
S tier, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, it's for me, putting movies like Infinity War and Endgame in the S is just like you have to, because you have so many. Hello.
Oh, there's a gentleman. They're wave. Hello, hi. He waved at me. He actually did wave at me.
But I feel like those movies, they have so much going on in them, and they're like so good in terms of, just because they're really long and they have a lot going on, like you automatically put them in that S tier. But I feel like this one being an independent film with that story of Black Widow, and it was just so good. It was so mind-blowing. I don't know if it's just because I only watched it the one time, and I'm still like on the high of it, but I give it in the S tier. And I would even say it's Thor Ragnarok and Black Widow are pretty like tied with me.
Oh wow, there you go.
Yeah,
that's high praise. I agree, and I'm fearful that there's a little recency bias. Like when I saw, and we won't talk about that, the movie that must not be named, but I was very excited about a recent movie.
Curious, what do you mean?
When I compared Justice League to Endgame, and I was being really like controversial on purpose, but like in retrospect, I'm like, you can't compare it to Endgame. I mean, there was a decade long buildup. Nah. I still think Zack Snyder's Justice League was awesome. But anyway, I agree with Madison. I think it's S tier for me. I think it's right up there. There's a small, like when you talk about the smaller films that were really successful, you know, you've got Thor Ragnarok and you've got Winter Soldier, and then Civil War and Endgame, and those kind of films are always up there. It's like, wow, they pulled it off. Like, this isn't hokey like it should be. But yeah, it's definitely at the top for me. I think this is one of my favorite in recent memory. It's kind of like Black Panther in the sense that like when I watched it, I was like, that's not what I expected at all. Holy shit. You know what I mean? It's right up there.
Right on.
And so this is right around Ant-Man for you, I'm thinking, Steve?
No, dude, you know me so little. Ant-Man's my favorite.
Is it really?
Well, it's not my favorite movie, but he's my favorite superhero. So strangely, don't ask me why.
No, that's fair. It's Paul Rudd.
I just love Ant-Man. It makes sense.
I think I am still going to put this in like the C tier. I like it better than like Captain America, the First Avenger. I like it more than like the Incredible Hulk and Thor, the Dark World. But some of the movies I haven't seen in a while. So like, I want to kind of
high praise.
I think I like it more than Iron Man 2 and maybe even Iron Man
3. I hope you would.
High praise.
Actually, so when I was doing,
is it better than Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. So I was doing research for this, and like I kept comparing Ray Winstone to Harvey Weinstein and Isaac Perlmutter. Do you guys know the story of Isaac Perlmutter, who he is?
I do not.
So Isaac Perlmutter was a figurehead at Disney, and he kind of had a lot of sway in the MCU early on. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Feige was kind of running things, but even Kevin Feige at the time had a boss, and that was Mr. Perlmutter. And so a lot of really bad ideas and really shitty things happen because of him, because Isaac Perlmutter is an asshole, and he has been forced out of Disney. It's been a couple years since they kicked him out of Disney because he was being a huge asshole, and now he just gives Donald Trump money. Mm. So he's that kind of guy. Mm. But he famously said that the first one came out, he famously was like, hey, don't make Black Widow action figures. People don't want to buy girl action figures. So a lot of the reason why, you know, there wasn't a lot of because Kevin Feige wanted to make an all woman's superhero movie like around that time, and he was the guy that's like, no one gives a shit about female superheroes, who cares. He also, it's speculated upon that in Iron Man 3 the reveal of who the real Mandarin was supposed to be Rebecca Hall's character, who just kind of gets set up in that movie and then is killed off unceremoniously towards the end.
Yeah,
but she was supposed to be revealed as the main villain, and he was the one that kind of stepped in and said, no, you know, you can't have a woman be the bad guy. That's not believable. And there has been so many things like in the Hollywood goss where Scarlett Johansson clearly is not a fan of this guy for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that scene with Ray Winstone towards the end, you could feel that a lot of that was directed towards that guy specifically.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. But the comparisons to Harvey Weinstein are also apt, because I think Ray Winstone just kind of likes, can I look like Harvey? I'll do that. All he was missing was his pathetic little walker.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the net when he didn't get killed by the explosion. It's going to carry on, but he'll just be on trial with Colonel Ross or whatever. Yeah. So does anyone else have any other thoughts on the film they want to drop before we close it up?
I think it was a perfect ending to Black Widow's story with ScarJo as Black Widow.
I agree.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Well, that wraps up our coverage of Black Widow. We absolutely adored the film. Please email in to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of Black Widow. You can follow us on Twitter @CMichaelWrites or @StreamThingPod as well. And Steve?
See May 13th.
Madison, is there anything you want to plug?
Not really. Just happy to be here. Thanks for having me on
the show. We have loved having you on. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you so much, yeah, everyone. And that's all we have time for. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
My name is Madison.
Hey!
Happy streaming.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.